Welcome to part one of the Age Proud Leeds Diverse Voices podcast. Age Proud Leeds is a campaign to raise awareness of ageism and change negative attitudes about ageing and older people. Ageism is defined as discrimination based on a person's age. It is widespread and affects people of all ages. Many of us take on negative beliefs about ageing without even realising it, and the impacts of ageism are harmful and wide-reaching. We have spoken to older people from diverse communities across Leeds to explore their views about ageism and other kinds of discrimination. They all have life experience of facing discrimination and have generously shared their thoughts with us. Part one of the podcast explores ageism and other types of discrimination, the assumptions people can make, and some people's experiences of hate crime. The participants also talk about discrimination in the past.
Ageism to me is almost, well, as a disabled person, someone will say, they'll grab out of your wheelchair and start pushing you, that type of thing. You know, or they'll grab your arm and say, come on, Grandma, if you want help, you'll ask.
There has been a great change, and it's difficult to know how much of it's ageism and how much of it's to do with disability, but I do feel as if there's been a move where I'm seen not just as a chronic patient but as somebody who can't expect too much because I'm getting older. And I think that's about ageism and expectations. I've been looking at the possibility of undertaking further study. I was quite shocked to see that a lot of things you have to have completed by the age of 60 to be eligible for funding, etc.
In terms of sort of being subject to ageism, I kind of became old and came out as trans almost at the same time. So it's very difficult to kind of separate in the way that people treat me.
Having a senior moment kind of comment, that is a form of ageism. It was a throwaway comment, but it's something that does happen. It's something that does need to be addressed.
It's really interesting how ageism, sometimes not intentionally, creeps into people's actions.
Ageism is something that, you know, for those of us who are lucky enough to live, you know, it is the one thing that we all face.
As people started to talk about ageism, it became clear that ageism is often merged together with other types of discrimination.
The black community, the elderly, always have the last say in what? And have to fight harder than a white elderly person. See, it doesn't matter what colour you are, what race you are a human being. And it should be fairness across the table for everyone.
Of course, being an older anything brings its problems. And certainly being an older trans woman, being an older woman is problematic.
That whole thing about being a lesbian and that being something that I am and my identity affected everything, you know, as being working class, as being a woman, as everything else, but it does affect every bit of you. I certainly found that incredibly difficult when I was sort of newly disabled, I think. I felt there was almost a pressure on me to, I was beginning, you know, it felt like it was a second life. For my family, they thought that, you know, I might sort of come out of it heterosexual. I hoped for that. It didn't happen.
And whatever equality we are fighting for, we should fight for every equality. Because when you look at LGBT, they have got the same issue as a black person. There's so many discrimination that just need to be looked at, and we just need to respect the individual for who they are.
Yes, I see it's based on colour, based on ethnicity, based on faith. We know that people that have a Muslim-sounding name will tend not to get the interview. The inequalities are there, so it is widespread based on colour, race, sex, gender, all sorts.
It's more of accessing to buildings, I think. To me, that's discriminating as well. When I first went into the chair, I realised that I'm then the forgotten person. It's the person that's pushing me behind who gets to all the conversations. It's the old adage that I always use. Does he take sugar in his tea? Well, ask him and he'll tell you, you know what I mean?
We asked about the assumptions that people can encounter.
So this is an added issue aside along all the other issues. I mean, even naturally, when we see someone, we make presumptions about that person. We have stereotypes in our mind. It's something that we all do. If we say we don't do it, we're probably lying. We all do this based on age, based on a person's sex, based on a person's race. We have certain perceptions in our mind.
Well, I think it works in two different directions. I think, obviously, there's this attitude, old people, they're a burden on society, they should be shoved in a care home and euthanized. Older people tend to stereotype the young. No young people today, and isn't the world falling apart? And I think both are equally dangerous.
I'm active, and I sort of, like, do my own stuff in my house and stuff. And some people would think because it's Asian and they're thinking, oh, she's painting, and you know, you don't see a woman painting outside, you know what I mean? This is my home, I want to paint my wall, I'll go outside and get paint and paint my wall. In my community, maybe, if they see me, they wouldn't think a woman would do that, maybe. It's always men doing that kind of job.
Many people from diverse communities have faced bullying and hate crime.
If I've had disability discrimination, if you want hate crime, if you want to put it that way, it's usually when I've been getting out my car. But when I'm putting the chair in the back of the car, you'll either get some awful looks. They always used to shout about what the elderly need, well, and a few other choice words. It makes it very hard. I've seen and I know people who've actually had the white cane broken on purpose.
I got thrown out of the swimming baths in Ilkley because a woman said that I was frightening her children because I'd got deformities and, you know, I was quite disfigured. And I really don't think I was frightening her child. I think her mother being scared and not knowing what was up with me was frightening for her child. But that, you know, if she'd spoken to me, we could have had that discussion, where instead I was thrown out of the pool. I mean, yes, the staff apologised later. And in the end, she was told that, you know, I was entitled to be in the pool, et cetera, et cetera. But it was a horrible episode.
What, anything that's happened to you?
I understand people. You can walk over the way, people get very nice to you.
Some people aren't very nice, but other people are.
Yeah, but what can you do? I don't like getting into an argument. No, I don't mean to think. I try to think positive. Putting the disabled people wrong, yeah.
It's just a word, then you can block it off, you know, because of you can say, well, obviously that's not being educated properly and people don't know you. So you can block it off. But if there's a harmfulness in a trouble way, then I think people will be hurt and people will be scared.
When these different kinds of discrimination combine, it can make life very hard for some older people. The Windrush scandal is an example of ageism and racism coming together in this way.
I will say a bit, but I cannot get my head around Windrush. I never understand when I used to hear the word Windrush, I never invest in it. But do you know what? It is a damn disgrace. that's what I can honestly say on this webcast. It is a disgrace. Because when you look back, there was asked to come here. The Windrush generation asked to come here. And this is why I'm here. Because they took my dad away from me. Then my mom died in the time, so obviously I joined my dad. But I always said, if I invite you to my house for a cup of tea, I'm not going to give it to you on the doorstep. You are going to come inside my house. And we drink that cup of tea. So the Windrush generation came here and they worked the butts off. And you know that. They built this country. Because the black people, when we are doing something, it's not 90%, it's 100% it done. And I have to keep referring back to my dad. I'm sorry. My dad said when he came, it was just horrible because that's not what he expected, but he did what he had to do. You know, my dad had a trade from home and he told me when he came, he could not get the trade. The job what he went for, British Rail, they gave him a proper job with his education. But and then a white person came after him. And when he turned up to work Monday morning, they said, you can't have that job. You have to have a less degree job. He didn't argue. But when you look at what's going on in the Windrush, I don't know if you saw the movie, what did it call now, In Limbo. And that actually brings tears to my eyes. Because I've been here from the 70s. I didn't fully go to school, but the gentleman who started Limbo, he came here from a toddler, done his schooling, his working, and everything. He contributed to this country, everything. And they just come and tell him he's got no rights. And they didn't even call him in and explain to him what was going on. He was locked up, he was this. He is not Jamaican. Because I'm not Jamaican, I'm Jamaican, I'm not giving up my identity. But believe me, when I go to Jamaica, I am a foreigner to them. I haven't contributed nothing to Jamaica. All I contributed is in England, my taxes, my kids, and everything is here. So the Windrush generation, they came here some in the early teens, never go back to their country because they love England and they make it their home. And for the government to do what they're doing, it is just disrespectful, it's degraded, and it's just, I don't know. Even myself, who are a part of the Windrush, I've got all my papers, I've got everything, I'm the mayor of Leeds, but who knows, maybe 5 years down the line, if it doesn't sort it out, they might come and say to me, you have to show ID. When you are a white person born here, can you show ID from then till now? And it's just disrespectful. And this is where the discrimination comes when I says not direct, indirect. That's racism. Is you've come to do what we want you to do, so off you go. And that's how it looked like. And I feel absolutely sorry for the elders. Absolutely. Around 4 weeks ago, I went to a funeral and I saw this gentleman, a black, and he was from the Windrush generation, and he was having issues because he says they want his passport, they want his school. And I was saying to him, well, you know, his school, but he says the teachers are not there anymore. It's not before where we have computers, where everything's stored. It was papers. So obviously it's gone. So I don't know what they expect, the Windrush generation, but I think they need to go to bed, wake up, and just accept it that these people was asked to come here, there was a guest, but they become a family now, and let us unite together. And that's what it should be.
Of course, South Asian communities were also coming to Yorkshire during the time of the Windrush migration, and many of these communities also faced racism and discrimination in work and education. Older people from diverse communities have faced discrimination throughout their lives, and many shared their memories of this, but also reflected on how much things have changed.
I think the problems I have now as a trans person are not in a sense so much caused by me being trans now, but because of not being able to be trans in the past, because of the attitudes in the past to trans people, and the attempt one makes to conform and be what other people expect you to be.
For men, it was a crime. For many of us, it was just ignored. That sort of real fear, along with your proudness and all those things. We've got to talk to people so they can see where that comes from.
Because at that time, we were having even the skinheads coming out as well, and then they had the attitudes and they had the bad name.
What I'm trying to say is the younger ones see what was happening then. It wasn't fair how black was treated. They have to go to the back of the queue. That's what my dad used to tell me. But now we've got this Age Act and we've got this equality. So because we've got the Age Act and the equality, the employer and the racists out there have to be very careful what they say and do. We talk about Black Lives Matter, as you know, the protests going on and everyone shouting Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. But this has been going on in the far right from way back then. But when you look at it then, when it was Martin Luther King and Nelson Mandela, you used to see just black fighting for that right, what they're entitled to. It is still happening today. But the difference is you see the mixture of people that joining for that. So the younger ones, now generation, feel that it should be fairness.
So in part one, we have heard people's stories of ageism and other types of discrimination. We have heard about how important it is to consider the past and what has gone before, as well as what is happening now. In part two, we will hear more about the impacts of discrimination, but also about what we can do about it, how we can support older people, and the positive things about being from a diverse community. You can visit the Time to Shine website to find out more about the Age Proud Leeds campaign and the issues faced by older people from diverse communities. Thanks to everyone who has helped us with this podcast, to Naseem, Eileen, Pauline, Ruth, Phil, Nazreen, Zubair, Colin, Ernest and Anna Marie, and many others who guide us in our work. Age Proud Leeds is led by Leeds Older People's Forum as part of the Time to Shine programme, funded by the National Lottery Community Fund. It is delivered alongside our partners within Leeds City Council, the NHS, the Centre for Ageing Better and voluntary sector organisations in Leeds.